Well, greetings, everybody, and welcome to Basic Gospel, a media ministry dedicated to helping you hear, believe, and live the good news of Jesus Christ. With Richard Piper and Andrew Farley, I'm Bob Davis, and if it's 3 p.m. Central, it's Basic Gospel Live, and we want to hear from you. Got a Bible question or a life issue you'd like to discuss? We have an open line, 844-322-2742, both in the U.S. and Canada. 844-322-2742. It's Basic Gospel, everybody, and here's Richard Piper. And Andrew Farley.
And here's Andrew Farley.
That's right.
Yeah, guys, today I just wanted to share a very familiar passage out of 1 Corinthians 15. It says, if Christ is preached that he has been raised from the dead, how do you say there is no resurrection? If there's no resurrection, if Christ has not been raised, then our preaching is in vain. Your faith also is in vain. But I guess the question is, why? I mean, why is it in vain? What is it that the resurrection does for us personally? Well, Paul helps us out in Romans chapter 5. He says that we're reconciled by the death of Jesus, and then we're saved by the life of Jesus. Now, you say, well, how? I mean, how are we saved by the life of Jesus? You know, we run around using the term born again. I'm born again. I'm a born again believer. Well, what does that really mean? Well, to be born of the Spirit, to be born from above, to be born again means that we have literally been infused with the resurrection life of Jesus Christ. And without the resurrection, that wouldn't happen. We would run around as forgiven, yet spiritually dead. And what the resurrection does for us is it makes us alive. And how is that practical? Well, when I start realizing that I'm not supposed to live the Christian life like any old human being would wake up on Monday morning and try to live a moral life and live an ethical life and, you know, give it their best shot. No, there's a reason that I have been infused with the life of Jesus Christ. And that is so that he can be the source, he can be the power behind that Christian life, he can be my everything. And so, you know, Paul says Christ is our life. And, you know, I know that we are accustomed to thinking about Jesus Christ as our Lord, and so we obey him. And Jesus Christ is our Savior, and so we look to Calvary and we look to the resurrection and say, thank you for saving me, thank you for forgiving me, thank you for heaven. And yet, there's another piece here. We can wake up every single day and say, wow, Christ is my life. Yeah. My spirit is fused to his spirit. We're one with the Lord. And guys, that is the power for living that we need to know about every day. The power is a person. His name is Jesus. He's risen from the dead. He lives in us so that we can trust him in every single moment.
Great thoughts, Andrew. Thank you for opening the broadcast. And friends, thank you for being with us. If you want to see this message of love, grace, and life in the Lord Jesus expand to many new areas and reach new listeners, well, we want to share that with you. Andrew, you have loved and been close to this ministry for a lot of years, and even as your own ministry has grown. And now, as a member of the board of directors at Basic Gospel, I know your heart is to see this message go out far and wide. And to that point, we have received some very good news, that of a matching gift offer. Talk to our listeners a little bit about that and what it can mean.
Well, what it means is that any gift you give today or anytime soon, you're looking at a doubling of that gift. And that's a rare opportunity, guys. I mean, normally if you give $30 to a nonprofit, it's $30. But we have someone, an anonymous donor, who's made this unique opportunity possible. And so if you give $30, it becomes $60. If you give $100, it becomes $200. And so, you know, this is a rare opportunity to support the gospel message. So if you've been listening to Basic Gospel and you like what we're doing, you like what we're proclaiming, and you want to participate along with us, well, this moves you away from just being a listener daily, which is fantastic, but you become an active participant along with us. And guys, nothing thrills us more than when we see somebody new partner with us. So I just want want to encourage everybody out there listening. If you want to support Basic Gospel, go to our website. That's basicgospel.net, and you can donate there.
Absolutely. Basicgospel.net, and every gift doubles by the end of June.
Yeah.
Is that right, Richard?
Great news.
Yes, it is. Well, 844-322-2742. If it's 5 after the hour, 3 Central, well, you're hearing Basic Gospel Live, and we have an open line for you right now. 844-322-2742. And in the meantime, guys, a question from Barton, who writes to us from Stitcher, Virginia. He says, first things first, your daily show is awesome and has brought me so much comfort and clarity. I'm appreciative beyond words for what you do. Thank you. Now to his question. Says, I fully accept and believe in my heart that Jesus died on the cross for our sins and our salvation. But what about those who pass before given the opportunity to come to this realization, specifically babies that pass before or just after birth, and those that live or lived where the word of Jesus is not made available or perverted after being shared? I've wondered about this for more than 40 years, he says, and thank you for keep doing what you're doing, and I know Barton would like some help on that.
Well, guys, I mean, this is not an easy question. You look through Scripture, the Old Testament, the New Testament, you're not going to find a chapter in Romans or Ephesians or Philippians that sort of details what happens with babies. So yet you can look at the words of a man named David, a man after God's own heart. He said that this young child of his who had passed away in infancy would not return to him, but that David, in inspired Scripture, David says that he is going to go to be with him where he is. And so, you know, I think that is a compelling argument for what happens to babies when they don't have an opportunity to hear the gospel, respond to the gospel. But ultimately, whether we're looking at the words of David, considering his infant child who passed away, or we're looking at the big heart of God, I mean, ultimately, we have to fall back on the goodness of God and say, you know, I can't find chapter and verse on every detail of this, but God, if I'm concerned about this, certainly your heart is bigger than mine, greater than mine, your love is greater than mine, and so I'm going to trust you. And guys, I think that's where we have to be on this, is surrendering to the goodness of God and trusting his heart.
Yeah, I agree with that. And then there was a second part of this about, you know, what are those about those people who haven't heard, you know, adults. God is really creative. I mean, that may be one of his primary attributes, is creativity. And he knows how to get to people. It may not be me that shows up and gives them a presentation, but someone or something will draw their heart to God, because that's the way he likes to do things. And again, letting God be God and trusting his heart is the way through these really tough questions. Because if you contemplate them too long without going to God's great big heart, it will twist you up. It can't help but do that, because it's an unanswerable question in many ways.
Absolutely. Andrew Farley and Richard Pfeiffer, I'm Bob Davis. Thank you for joining us for Basic Gospel today. Again, open lines, 844-322-2742. Let's swing out to Fort Collins, Colorado, and talk to Steve. Hi, Steve. Welcome to the broadcast. You're on the air. Hello,
great,
Steve. Hi there. How can
so
we help you today?
I've been trying to figure out how to boil it down. It's an issue of interpreting narrative by didactic scriptures. So like if you take the book of Acts, do you interpret what the apostles say and do as you would just reading through Romans, or do you kind of take it and filter it through like a didactic text? Like you wouldn't take David's actions with Bathsheba as being something to follow, because you have teaching text elsewhere, if that makes sense.
Yes. We have to be careful in looking at the book of Acts and trying to make it into something that we're going to imitate to every degree. I mean, look, the apostles disagreed about something. They had an argument and split up. So let's have a church meeting and make sure we argue and split up. Well, no, that might have occurred as history, but it doesn't mean we imitate it. And then, you know, at salvation, for some, there were tongues of fire that fell down from heaven resting on their heads. And we then turn that into doctrine and say, well, if that hasn't happened to you, then maybe you're not truly saved. Well, again, that's history, but it's not doctrine. And we need to be careful about that as well. So you look at Jonah in the Old Testament. I mean, he disobeyed God and was swallowed by a whale. Do we want to get up on Sunday morning on stage behind a pulpit and say, if you guys disobey God this week, you're going to be swallowed by a fish? So clearly, you know, you got a bunch of examples of where there are historical events recorded, including in the book of Acts, but it doesn't mean that we turn everything into doctrine. So I think you're showing some discernment with that question. I think that, you know, we have to look to the epistles to understand what it is that God wants the New Testament church to understand and walk by. So I hope that helps. Does that make sense?
Yeah, can I ask kind of a follow-up with that?
Sure.
So then when you get like a sermon in Acts,
yes.
So you're not getting like somebody doing something or healing somebody that's been lame from birth, but like, you know, you get like an Acts 17. Do you kind of treat that in the same way that you treat like a Romans or Ephesians, kind of what's said in the sermon?
I think you do because, you know, whether it's a delivering something verbally or delivering something on paper, I mean, you're talking about a if it is a sermon, you're talking about a teaching. I would just say the only caveat is, well, just like with the letters of Paul, I mean, sometimes he's greeting someone that you've never heard of. Sometimes he's saying hello or goodbye to a group of people, and you're saying, well, what's the application to that? I guess I should say hello and goodbye to people. But so in the same way, you know, in these sermons in the book of Acts, I think that they are recorded for a reason, just like Jesus's teachings are recorded. And so you look at the Sermon on the Mount, and there's an understanding of that that we need to have. And there's the teaching on the vine and the branches, and we need to understand that. And likewise, in the book of Acts, you're going to see apostles delivering sermons that have some pretty significant content about Jesus. And I think we read them, we study them, we learn from them. Absolutely.
Great. Well, thank you so much. I've been hoping to catch you guys when you've been on. So thank you.
Very good.
Yeah, thank you, Steve.
Thanks, Steve. Great to hear from you. And friends, we have an open line, 844-322-2742. And friends, for those of you who were not with us yesterday or earlier, Andrew has written a book, Untangling 45 Lies Christians Have Been Told. It's called Twisted Scripture, and we would love for you to get a copy of it. You can go to our website, basicgospel.net. There on the homepage, you'll find a big banner right across the front that says Twisted Scripture. You can click that, and it will take you to Amazon.com, where you can order your copy in one of several different flavors, I guess, hardcover, paperback, or the Kindle version, and we encourage you to do that. Andrew, it's a great book. I've started it already, and I'm really, really enjoying it. So, friends, I hope you'll pick up a copy as well. It is Basic Gospel, everybody. Andrew Farley joining Richard Pfeiffer and me, and we're going to go, and we're going to join Clay down in Thorndale, Texas. Hey, brother, how are you today?
Doing good.
Good to hear from you.
I'm halfway through that Twisted Scripture, and it's really so good that I'm just reading two chapters a night. I'm trying to make it last. You know,
that's great.
Andrew does an excellent job. I'll tell anybody, if you're confused about the flesh whip, here's one sentence he put in his when he's describing what the flesh is. What is the flesh? Andrew asked. The flesh is the old worldly ways of thinking and acting that we relied on before salvation. And then I like to add, it's anything that pulls us away from the dependency, our dependency upon Christ. But I want to thank you for making this so clear and simple about this flesh, because I got a feeling I'm not the only one that it's so simple. Sometimes it's hard. And that's really not, you know, go ahead, Andrew, if you want to speak to that.
Yeah, well, Clay, first of all, I appreciate your encouragement. I'm glad you got the book. I'm glad you're enjoying it, and it's always good to hear great feedback. So thank you for that. And as far as the flesh goes, yeah, I mean, there's a few analogies I like to give. I mean, one of those is that you've got hardware and software on your computer, and you know, we've also got spiritual hardware and then software updates. So, you know, when you got saved, Clay, you got a new spiritual hardware inside. He took out your heart of stone. He gave you a new heart, an obedient heart, where he dwells in your heart. And yet we've got the renewing of the mind. And that's a lot like those software updates. You know, when you're on your phone, it tells you you need a software update. When you're on your computer and it that little window opens up and you can either click accept or X out of it. Well, we got a lot of those software updates that we still need. We've got stinking thinking, old attitudes, old ways of thinking and acting, and that's what the flesh is. All that fleshly thinking is just, it needs a good software update. So, you know, I think that's important to understand, because sometimes when I get those dirty thoughts, I start thinking I'm dirty. And then I'm confusing software and hardware. I got to remember, hey, I'm not dirty. I'm a child of God. I'm not dirty. I've got a resurrection heart. I'm not dirty. I'm one with Jesus. So, you know, Clay, I think understanding the difference between the software updates and then my new spiritual hardware is a big deal.
Yeah, I like what you said. You said you get a new Apple phone. You take it home, pull it out of the box, plug it in, and immediately it needs the software update. And it's really, really good. And that's similar to what I called about. That's enough for today. And I just want to thank you for the book. Appreciate it.
Well, thanks, Clay. All right. Good to hear from you.
Indeed. Clay's a longtime listener and a good friend. We enjoy hearing from him. Well, again, 844-322-2742. If it's 16 past the hour, 3 Central Time, it's live, Basic Gospel, and we would love to hear from you. Still have time on the clock, 844-322-2742. And, friends, for those of you who hear this good news every day, we ask you to help us move this message forward, because, as we've said before, not everyone gets to hear of the freedom and grace that we have in the Lord Jesus Christ. And, Richard, tomorrow, being the final day of the month, the bills for our radio stations and our internet streaming service come to you once again. Friends, we can't do it without our stations, and we can't do it without your help as well. So, Richard, how's it looking as we end the month?
It's looking better than it did at the beginning of the month, but we still need more. there have been some very, very short months in the first 6 months of this year for various reasons. You know, we don't know. It's just reality. Mm-hmm. The month of June, we need at least $200,000 to break even. And we've communicated that in a letter that you will be receiving if you haven't already. This $35,000 challenge grant that we've gotten will go a long ways toward helping us finish off May well and start strongly in June. But we need more than that, and it's just the way it is. I'm not embarrassed to say that, not embarrassed to ask you folks to help us do that, to reach that goal, because this message is just that important. It's not about me. It's not about Andrew or Bob Christopher or Bob Davis. It's about Jesus. And people need to hear about Jesus, the truth about Jesus. Not that just he was this great guy, or you better do everything he said, and then they conveniently leave out plucking out your eye. This is Jesus, the author and perfecter, the finisher, the person who brings us is the goal of our faith. And when we get a chance to share him every day here and online, and, you know, people are impacted. You have a direct impact on that because of your generosity. You are as much part of this ministry as we are. And if we're all in it together and all pulling together and walking by grace through faith, I believe, fully believe, that the Spirit can do amazing things. And I have no doubt that we can reach this goal.
Well, friends, there it is. We just need your help. So please click donate at basicgospel.net and make your gift today. And we'll be glad to send you a copy of Richard's powerful story, What's It Worth? So again, that's at basicgospel.net, where you'll find that big prominent donate link. And we hope that you'll stand with us this very day. Well, guys, we had this question in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 15, and elsewhere. Paul urges believers to stand firm and cling to the traditions we taught you. What traditions is he referring to there?
Well, there's several different kinds of traditions that are mentioned, and the same word is used for all of them, whether singular or plural. Some of them have to do with, for example, Jewish traditions. These were things that were taught that went beyond the Mosaic covenant and were usually explaining that covenant. When Paul is talking in Thessalonians, however, what he's talking about is the message that we brought you concerning Jesus Christ, mm-hmm. the finished work of Jesus, his death, burial, and resurrection, his ascension that made possible Pentecost and receiving the Holy Spirit, that whole life thing.
Yeah.
That's what he's talking about. And the reason he talks about it in terms of traditions is because the word there was a very powerful word. It had to do with something that was delivered, a teaching or whatever, that was delivered to people in a way that was trustworthy.
Mm-hmm.
Not just making it up, not just trying to make a buck or pull the wool over your eyes, but it was trustworthy because the person bringing that message was trustworthy. Why were the apostles so important? Because they taught this kind of thing. And so when Paul is talking about hold on to these traditions that you've been taught, he's talking about the gospel itself.
Yeah.
He said, don't let the Judaizers come in and mess this up. Don't let your pagan friends come in and mess this up. Keep your eyes on Jesus. Let him be the answer. That's the tradition worth holding to.
Mm-hmm.
There were other traditions. They were good, bad, and otherwise. But the traditions, Paul and most of the other references, these are the traditions of the gospel itself.
Okay. Thank you, Richard. I appreciate that. Andrew?
Bob, you look in the previous chapter here in verse 12, it says, the name of our Lord Jesus may be glorified in you and you in him according to the grace of our God and the Lord Jesus Christ. And I kind of see that as an encapsulation of the gospel that the Thessalonians have received. First, Jesus is glorified. Where? Where is he glorified? It says, in you. And then where are you? It says, you are in him. Mm-hmm. And then how did this happen? It says, according to the grace of our God. So, you know, there's so much even in that single verse in this previous chapter. So, you know, Richard nailed it. When we talk about tradition in this context, it's not, oh, you got to wake up and believe what mom and dad believed. Oh, you got to believe whatever your sect or denomination went with. No, Paul specifically means the message of the gospel centered on Jesus. And so these are the pillars that we teach every day. I mean, Jesus Christ hung on a cross. He took away your sins. You're totally forgiven. That's not just tradition. That's truth. And, you know, Jesus hung on a cross. He took you with him. You were crucified with Christ, buried, raised to newness of life. That's not just tradition to teach as a believer. That is the truth. For any time, any age, we need to know I've been crucified with Christ. I've been totally forgiven. I'm living under God's grace. I'm motivated by his Spirit living in me. So this is counterintuitive. It's countercultural. It goes against the way of the world. And yet for every believer for 2,000 years, this is the, quote, tradition that we have been carrying along the message of Jesus Christ. Jesus plus nothing. 100% natural. Don't add to that. Don't take away from that. Don't diminish that. Keep your eyes on Jesus. He is the message.
He is indeed the message. Well, thanks to you and Richard for that wonderful answer. As we close, a quick question here. My question is it wrong for a believer, a Christian, to play the lottery? And if he or she wins, is it wrong to give to the church?
Well, it's certainly not wrong to give to the church. No. Lotteries are a waste of time and money, fundamentally. Obviously, you can't win if you don't play, but why play when the odds are millions and millions against you? I find something else to do, I think. Have I played the lottery? Yes, I have. I actually won $2 or $3 once. You know? But if it's something that's fun, you're not going to go to hell for playing the lottery.
Of course not.
But be careful. You know, some people get hooked on this thing. Mm-hmm. And winners quite often are harmed by the winning more than they would have been if they stayed where they were.
Absolutely.
It's no surprise that whole states are funded by the lottery. And look at the size of those casinos. They're not exactly small either. So somebody else is winning. Be careful.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Well, guys, thank you so much. And friends, Basic Gospel needs your prayers and your support to keep the message of the love, grace, and life of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ, on the air and online. And your gift today will count double because of this excellent matching gift of $35,000. $35,000. $10,000 becomes $70,000, and every dollar given will be matched. So support Basic Gospel. Donate today or anytime at basicgospel.net. Again, that's basicgospel.net. Remember, too, that the listener line is always open for you at 844-322-2742. Well, now for Bob Christopher, for Richard Piper, for Andrew Farley, and all this great ministry team, I'm Bob Davis, inviting you back again tomorrow as we continue in the series, The Power of Eight, on Basic Gospel. We'll see you then. Bye-bye.